Welcome to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's podcast for innovative entrepreneurs and executives. And brought to you by Bennett Gold LLP Chartered Accountants. Here is your host, Robert Gold.
Once again, from high atop the Business Cast Podcast Center in Toronto, live and in the morning, we're way off to the east. I can see Noggin Cove, Newfoundland. I'm Robert Gold, Managing Partner of Bennett Gold LLP, Chartered Accountants in Toronto. And this podcast is produced in partnership with Profit Magazine and ProfitGuide.com. Today, Daniel Dubois is with us. Daniel has an amazing story. He's the founder and CEO of ShareShed, ShareShed.ca. Daniel, welcome to the Profit Business Cast.
Hey, Robert. Thanks for having me.
I know you've got a great story to tell. It's got to do with Bangkok. It's got to do with global competition. But let's step back a bit. Tell us about yourself and how you came to found ShareShed.
First off, thanks again for having me on the show. Super humbled and honored to be here. My name is Daniel Dubois. I'm the founder and CEO at ShareShed. At ShareShed, we're creating a world of unlimited access to adventure with a website and mobile app for people to rent outdoor equipment off of locals. So you're out east, you got cottage country. Let's say you want to go kayaking this weekend. With ShareShed, you're connected to a local to simply rent a kayak off of them. So essentially, we're Airbnb for outdoor adventure gear, and we're making it easy to have fun outside. From Vancouver, West Coast, Best Coast, over here.
Says you.
Yep. The journey began for me when I graduated high school. My friend talked me out of going directly into university and into backpacking Australia with him for 6 months. And early into our trip, we connected with a family who hosted us. And we wake up in the morning, go surfing with the dad or bike trips with our neighbors. And it was incredible how we were on the other side of the world, but all of a sudden part of this tight-knit community where we were so far from home, but had a true sense of belonging, taking full advantage of going surfing in the morning and bike trips with our neighbors and whatnot. When I came home, I went to university, and in my entrepreneurship class, we watched a TED Talk called The Rise of Collaborative Consumption by Rachel Botsman, and it was on the rise of the sharing economy. There's one sentence that said, redefine wealth from what you own to what you have access to, which really resonated with me. Thinking back to Australia, how we were broke and had nothing, but we were truly wealthy because we had access to anything we could ever want. The rest is history.
That history brings us right up to right now. You're the winner of the 2016 Canadian Student Entrepreneurship Awards presented by EO, the Entrepreneurs Organization. It's amazing. But the better story is that you represented Canada at the global competition in Bangkok in May. So I want to know, how did you make out against those global competitors? It was 50-odd of them, wasn't there?
Yeah, there's 51 young entrepreneurs from 51 different countries represented there, and it was an incredible experience. Entrepreneurs organization put it on. They flew out everyone. We were all put up in a 5-star hotel. They put a ridiculous budget into it. We had marching bands before our presentations and performances before every meal. And just being surrounded by 51 other entrepreneurs that are doing incredible things at such a young age was a massive honor. I placed third.
Well done. Third in the global? Fantastic. I hear the applause from the audience. Good job.
Yeah, thank you. You know, it was an incredible experience, and I truly feel like anyone could have won it just with the stage that everyone's at, and really excited for the person who won. She's from El Salvador, and winning this is really going to change her life, and just humbled to be a part of the experience.
Let's step back to Canada a bit, and what would you say were the three most important factors contributed to you winning the Canadian competition?
The competition is less about pitching your business, more about who you are as an entrepreneur. So I'd say the most important factor was proving that entrepreneurship is in your DNA. I feel like that's something you can't really fake. It's more something that's built out of habit and that's been set up throughout the habits that you've developed throughout your lifetime. And when I think back to my earliest childhood memory of entrepreneurship, I was 5 years old and I used to go pick moss from the train tracks across the street where I grew up. And I'd go door to door selling moss for $5 a bag. Now, if 5 years old, I have no idea why people bought moss off me, probably because I was five, but regardless, they did. And from that moment on, I was hooked. Early into elementary school, I started a clothing line and another clothing line in high school, started a Laneway housing company. And really, the entrepreneurship has been a continuous habit from as early as 5 years old for me. So that would probably be the first one. Then I think a big part of it is passion and persistence. So really loving what you do and having a thirst for continuous learning and doing whatever it takes to make your vision a reality. And lastly, one thing that wasn't necessarily in the judging criteria, I think a lot of the judges were looking for, was alignment with your purpose and using your values as a filter in the decisions that you're making. That was one thing that I really worked into my presentation and I think really resonated with the judges.
Do you think that there's value for entrepreneurs, students or otherwise, actually entering these kind of business competitions?
Yeah, I was skeptical for sure. I felt like I want to build a business, not necessarily get up and talk about it. And I was blown away with the amount of value that this competition has given me. EO has been so valuable in my life. We have 6 EO investors, raised just over $1 million in a month. Everyone that's on our team, I feel like, is just pushing us up the mountain and really have that values alignment and are behind what we're building. The money is one thing, but much more important than money is the resources as far as time and mentorship that's come along with the competition. And also, I just got out of an investor meeting and I was talking to my investor mentor and I'd say CEO coach, Kevin Kirsten from No Limit Group. And we were just talking about the value in applying for a competition or just doing the pitch really requires you to answer the tough questions that are going to come up and prepare that you have every aspect of the business covered. So at first, I thought that it was a bit of a time suck, not just I think this competition is an exception because it's incredible the amount of resources and support you get. But in hindsight, I think it's incredibly valuable for any student or young entrepreneur that's serious about building a business.
So let's move globally now. The competition in Bangkok, tell us about some of the competitors that blew you away. What are you seeing from around the world within your milieu?
I mean, humbled by just being a part of it. Every business that was there was very ambitious and was putting a dent in the universe. The person who won, she's from El Salvador. Once again, the intent of the competition isn't for the business, but is for the entrepreneur. And she really represented entrepreneurial spirit. In El Salvador, entrepreneurship is very frowned upon, especially women entrepreneurship. So she's absolutely going against the grain and overcoming a ton of barriers. People aren't necessarily proud of El Salvador. She has a purse company. She puts front and center on her purses made in El Salvador. She's really helping build the local ecosystem and economy there and making people proud of their country, which I think is really, really cool. She actually received a standing ovation from her talk. Every entrepreneur I was blown away by, there's one person who represented the United States, and he had a company that actually helped people avoid heart attacks and early onset different types of diseases. He's saving millions of people's lives and helping with prevention and disrupting the medical systems. It blew my mind to hear about, right? We had one person from South America who did 3D printing of prosthetic limbs, helping children who couldn't afford to receive arms and legs, and now they're 3D printing them and it's in real time and he's helping a ton of people. And one thing that really got me excited from everyone that I met is their clear why and purpose that they have behind everything that they do. There's a real focus on using business as a tool to make a difference in the world, and I feel like our future is very bright.
Well, you know, that's great comments, and you described some pretty diverse things. I know I was a judge in the Toronto EO Student Award Competition, and I was so impressed with what the offerings were and the diversity. There were apps, there were physical goods, and then I sat in on the Canadian competition where you won. We got to see the Canadian offerings from, of course, across the country. And from coast to coast, they're very different in the focus. But what can you share with us from your observation of seeing a global competition that our Canadian entrepreneurs, student or otherwise, young or not so young, what things can you share with us about succeeding on a global scale based on your observations?
It comes back to just clearly understanding your why. What's getting you up in the morning? What's keeping you up late at night? And what's really inspiring you and going to be able to resonate and radiate onto other people to inspire a team, investors, advisors, mentors, to be able to take your vision and make it a reality. So I think really understanding your why is quite possibly the most important aspect that entrepreneurs need to have dialed in on. And I think at the global scale, everyone there truly understood why they're doing what they're doing. Say, for example, the person who's saving millions of people's lives in prevention, his why was because his grandfather suffered of different illnesses. He witnessed this firsthand. He was fueled up and fired up to make a difference, right? And tapping into, we all have a why. We all have an innate desire to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. And once we really tap into being a part of something bigger than ourselves and using that motivation to build a better future, I think it's extremely, extremely powerful.
You know, that's a great tip, but I want to add to that why. We spoke to a guest not long ago on the Profit Business Cast, and his whole focus was getting to the how. And he would drill down, yes, that's your why, but how are you going to do it? They'll give you an answer. Well, how are you going to accomplish that? How are you going to make that happen? Drilling down to the how is almost as important in order to execute.
For sure. I mean, you can't just be extremely passionate about something and think positively on the couch. You're going to get off the couch and figure out a way of making it happen. And that's the why, right? And eventually you lead to the what. It's almost like Simon Sinek's podcast on the golden circle and how true leaders inspire. Many companies focus on what they do, then how they do it, then why they do it, if they even get there. But the companies that are making a massive difference in the world, like Apple, almost focus in the exact reverse order, right? From why they do what they do, how they do it, and then what it is that they actually do.
Well, I think Apple, much like what you've done at ShareShed, and again, it's shareshed.ca. It's a great site with some great interesting opportunities. Everywhere you want to go, something's there. But it's almost like Apple's perspective is, we'll tell the people what they need as opposed to, gee, I need this, where do I get it? And you've kind of done that same thing.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, Apple, it's almost like it's creating products that people didn't even know they wanted until Apple released it, right?
Well, you're talking to a fanboy, so yeah. So let me ask you this, the last question. You've had great success with ShareShed, and you've built a community. And I think that's the most difficult thing, because e-commerce depends on content commerce and community. And you've built the community, you've got all the factors. So what things can you share with our listeners about launching an online or a physical business where the venture's success is dependent on the entrepreneur's ability to build a community?
Great question. I feel like the mindset of build it and they will come is just no longer relevant. As much as people start tech companies and expect the technology of the product itself to be what spreads, really what spreads is the service that you provide. From day one, we've been getting out of the office and talking to our users, and a big part of our traction has just been coming from our community. We found that people weren't necessarily using ShareShed because they wanted a canoe, but they were using it because they felt a sense of belonging and they were able to have an authentic experience. So I think a big part of it is getting out of the office. Very easy to be on a computer all day and sending emails. The challenge is in continuously talking to users and really being of service. So that's one thing that we all really pride ourselves on. And we have a meetup group with thousands of members, and we continuously do free events, getting people outside and develop a lot of friends that from our community, including one of our first transactions, rented out the canoe. They connected with this couple that almost canceled their trip, but they made it happen because they found out about ShareShed. Now they've gone on to stay in touch and be friends. And the person who rented his canoe, we continuously reach out to him for advice on how he's enjoyed our experiences. And since then, he's actually invested and joined the team full time. Even just the way that we built our team, a lot of them have come from our community, and really humbled for the sense of belonging that we're a part of.
You know, it's interesting because it sounds like all that you just said is all about communication with your core audience, and then they will help you build the community.
Yeah, it's almost like having the mindset of you don't know what your users want and they don't necessarily know what they want. So all you can do is try to bridge that gap through constant communication and constant testing.
So do you have a final thought before we go on global competition? You're in a really unique vantage point, more so than any of the people I've spoken to recently, because you were in Bangkok face-to-face and head-to-head with 51 competitors. Where do we stand? How do you see Canada and our entrepreneur society? Because we're very entrepreneurial here. Unlike your friends, we relish entrepreneurs almost as much as the Americans. We're a little bit more conservative. What's your final thought on Canada entrepreneurs and the global community?
As a final thought, I think that Silicon Valley is a mindset more than anything else. And I think one of the challenges that a lot of different communities face, including Canada and places outside of the Valley, is that they're thinking too small. And as much as it might feel like it's too ambitious or too big to start a project that has a ton of significance behind it, I believe that it's actually easier to start harder companies because of the people who get behind you and push you up the mountain. So if anything, I think it's understanding that you don't have to be in Silicon Valley to start a Silicon Valley startup, but it's a matter of having that mindset, that persistence, and the vulnerability to reach out to people who have done it before and help push you up the mountain.
Daniel, you've quoted a few books. Is there one book that you think that our entrepreneurs should read that had great influence on you?
Yeah, for sure. So the book that I have on my phone on repeat is Psychology of Achievement by Brian Tracy. It's made a massive impact in my life. I probably listened to it 50 plus times now. So that's actually the only audiobook that I have in iTunes. So I continuously listen to it every time I'm on my bike going from place to place. But as far as any entrepreneur, a classic that I think is relevant for every industry is the Lean Startup. Build, measure, learn, test all your assumptions, and iterate as quickly as possible. And I think that's one thing that we've seen a massive shift from, is going from theory-based longer business plans to business model canvases and continuous testings and iteration.
And that iteration and lean theme has come out over and over again over the years. It's one of the best things that's happened to us since the internet economy. Daniel Dubois, founder and CEO, ShareShed Inc., shareshed.ca. Daniel, again, congrats on doing so great and making us proud in Canada at the global competition. And thank you for being a guest on the Profit Business Cast.
Robert, thank you for having me. Much appreciated.
And until next time, I'm Robert Gold, managing partner of Benegold LLP, chartered accountant in Toronto. If you want to understand our why, check us out at Benegold. You can find other great episodes of the Profit Business Cast at ProfitGuide.com. See you next time in the morning, everyone, and good night, Noggin Cove, Newfoundland.
You've been listening to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's business podcast, and brought to you by Bennett Gold LLP Chartered Accountants. From acceleration to succession, strategy to tax planning, there's a lot more through the door at bennettgold.ca.